You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 22nd of November 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I want to take a look at the selective use of justice, particularly the selective use of race hate charges. When a crime is carried out, if there is a racist component to the crime, then that is said to aggravate the crime itself, and the punishment is supposed to be increased. And, of course, that counts for people with protected characteristics. If somebody is being attacked because of their race or being attacked because of their sexuality, then this increased punishment is supposed to occur. But we only see this happening to white people. We don't ever see this happening to any of these other racial groups when they attack white people. And I'm talking about this today just to draw attention to the legal system and the way that it's being used against us. I'm not talking about it to get people to hate on non-whites. There are criminals in every community, and each criminal type is going to find it easier to find victims in a multi-ethnic territory. They're going to find it easier to find victims if the government has a multicultural policy. And all of these crimes, these black-on-white crimes, non-white against white crimes, all of them are only happening because of the government's immigration policy and multicultural policy. If we had a homogenous country still, like we had 100 years ago, we wouldn't have anywhere near the crime that we have now. It's all been caused by the government. As I say, there are criminals in every community, and they will find it easier to find victims if they're living in a multicultural territory. That's the reason for this. Plus, we also have different crime rates for different groups, just the same as we have different average IQs for different groups. The source of the problem is the government's policy, and the way that they try to deal with that is to prevent the indigenous population from being able to talk about this, from being able to draw attention to it, because they think if people don't talk about it, then it won't happen. People won't learn about it. But of course, people can see it with their own eyes. They can see what happens in a multicultural area, particularly if they're older people and they remember before the area was actually multicultural. And the government's attempts to try to prevent there being this conflict and this friction between these communities is to come out with increased sentences for if people are carrying out attacks, physical attacks, I'm talking about here. If people are carrying out physical attacks that are aggravated by a racial aspect. But that is only being applied if white people do something like this. If non-whites carry out an attack on somebody white and it's quite clearly racially motivated, the legal system is not used against them. And the fault of that is our government and our legal system again. And I'm talking about this today because two South Asian men who participated in a racist gang attack left the victim needing surgery have now been allowed to skip prison by a British judge. 22-year-old Irfan Amjad and 20-year-old Fahim Shukat were convicted of participating in a violent and sustained attack against a white victim in Manchester. At one point, the gang struck the victim so hard in the head with a glass bottle that it shattered, and then used its jagged shard to stab him, cutting open his head and leaving him with a serious wound in the calf muscle of his leg that required surgery, according to a Manchester Evening News court report. And remember, this was a racist attack. This was simply because the man was white. And the South Asians involved here had a dislike of white people. That's the reason why they did this. If this had been the other way around, and you had white people that had smashed a bottle over a non-white's head, calling them by a racial epithet, I think they would probably get 20 years inside. They would certainly get, the court would certainly see it as being aggravated because there was a racial component to it. The fact that this gang that attacked this white man, they haven't even been given a prison sentence, just shows you how warped our legal system has become. Sentencing, Mr. Recorder Usher said the pair were part of that group that inflicted terrifying injuries. He thought he was going to die, adding that their victim was minding his own business and someone in your group decided that he wasn't welcome where you were and they made a racist remark to him. You two joined in and neither of you had to. What then followed was a serious and sustained assault that both of you took part in. So even the court are admitting there was a racial component to this, a racist component to this. A racist remark was made before he was attacked. And yet that has not been taken as an aggravating circumstance to the crime itself. The racist remark in question was, "You white bastard, we don't want to see you around here again." Now, if a white person was to say those same words, but use the word black in there, they would be accused of hate speech, and depending on where it was said, they could run the risk of being sent to prison just simply for mouthing those words, let alone mouthing those words and then smashing a glass bottle over somebody's head and trying to jab them with it, leaving them fearing for their life. You'd be talking about a serious prison sentence here. But this comment about the white bastard has not even been taken into account by the judge here. And I'm betting that it's a white judge. I mean, it wouldn't be a non-white judge that would do something like this. It's bound to be a self-hating white judge that carried this out. Despite this, and despite claiming to be considerably concerned that Shukat went on to be convicted of possessing cannabis and cocaine and carrying a bladed article, well after the attack, the judge handed down a weak sentence of just 14 months, which would not have to be served in full, and then suspended it. So it would not have to be served at all without convictions for further crimes. So long as he doesn't get caught with cannabis again, or caught with a bladed article again, he's not even going to get any punishment for this at all, for leaving a white man fearing for his life. And what sort of a message do these judges think they are sending when things like this get into the news? They're effectively saying, well, if you pick on somebody white as your victim, don't worry about being sent to prison. I mean, that's effectively what they're saying here. And they're saying you can be as anti-white as you like. You can be as offensive as you like towards white people. And it's not going to be counted as an aggravating factor if you get caught by the police. Amjad received 24 months, also suspended, with Mr. Recorder Usher letting him off because he supposedly lacked maturity at the time of the attack and has a realistic prospect of rehabilitation. As if this could not take place in a custodial setting. And isn't prison supposed to be about justice being seen to be done, protecting the public from further risk of attack, and also to rehabilitate the criminal? That's the reason why people go to prison. And this has not protected the public from further attacks. As we heard about this first chap here, this Shukat, after he carried out this attack, he was then caught with cannabis and cocaine and carrying a bladed article. So he was caught carrying a weapon after the attack. So it's fairly predictable that he's going to continue carrying a bladed article, isn't he, if he hasn't been sent to prison? Because he had already been arrested for this attack, and yet he was still caught with a knife further on after that. So they're not protecting the public by doing this. And I don't know why they would be doing it. I mean, perhaps they're worried that they could be accused of racism if they don't actually jail the person. The thugs may have attracted less derisory sentences had the authorities not settled for convictions for violent disorder, rather than pursuing them for serious racially aggravated assaults. But such softness is not unprecedented in cases where the victims are white. And we have lots of instances where charges of racially aggravated, whatever the crime is, racially aggravated assault, racially aggravated rape, racially aggravated murder. You won't hear about any of those racially aggravating terms if the victim is white. And the message that this sends is that white people are fair game. If you attack somebody who isn't white, then they are worth far more than somebody who is white. I mean, I guess you could say that we're trying to make sure that the indigenous white folks of Britain are particularly well behaved and are particularly welcoming to our guests here. And I call them guests because it's our government that have invited them over here and allowed them in, whether we approve of that or not. It is our government that has done that. And it could be said that what they're trying to do is just prevent there being friction, there being trouble. But what it does is it actually causes the friction and it causes the trouble because it says that we have these groups within society that are worth more than the indigenous folk. I mean, years ago in Anglo-Saxon times, we had a thing called Wergild. And what Wergild was, depending on your station in society, depending on your caste in society, there were different fines that were made for if you had attacked somebody. So if you were a thrall, if you were a lowly serf, it would just be a low amount of money if somebody attacked you and you lost your arm. If you were higher up, if you were a knight, say, it would be more money. If you were a lord, it would be even more money. And effectively what that was saying is that depending on what somebody does in society, they either have a higher value or they have a lower value. And if you apply that to what's going on here, they're saying that non-whites have a higher value than whites. And if you attack whites and you're doing it simply because they're white, nothing extra will be done about it. But if you're white and you attack somebody black and your reason for doing that is a racist reason, then that's going to be treated as an aggravating factor. So it works for one, but not for the other. And in law, it's supposed to be that if anybody is attacked for a racial motive based on race, it doesn't say only if you're a part of a black race or only if you're part of a Jewish race or a non-white race. It just says race. So it should apply to white people. But it doesn't, apparently. As they say here, there are plenty of examples of this happening. In 2019, for example, a 20-strong gang of South Asian heritage launched a shocking attack on three tree surgeons they excoriated as white bastards. Once again, that's that same language, who were in their country, namely Rochdale, England, which saw the principal victim, a teenager, have his ribcage caved in and his hand cut off with an axe. And this was not treated as racist. If it had been, it would likely have seen much heavier sentences under English hate crime law. And again, imagine if you were to say that white bastards, but you were to actually put the word black there, you would be arrested for saying that, as if you were saying that in public. They would say that that's a clear example of hostility based on race, and not just being unsympathetic. That is a clear example of being hateful to call somebody that. And yet they can call people that, the white version of it here, and they can go on to attack them. And that's not seen as an aggravating factor. I mean, this particular attack, I think we did cover it when it occurred. Let's remind ourselves of it. 27-year-old Habiba Rahman of Milne Row Road, Rochdale, gathered the mob after the workers had stopped him from abusing an elderly woman, the Manchester Evening News reports. So this young white lad was trying to do a good deed. He saw this non-white Rahman abusing an elderly woman, and he went up to him and said, look, that's not on. That's an elderly woman. You shouldn't be doing that. Rahman, incensed that he had been disrespected on his territory, tracked the four workers to the property they were working on in the rape gang blighted city. Remember, Manchester also has a problem with rape gangs. Blocking them in by parking his car across the driveway, while the mob approached armed with weapons, including a claw hammer, knives, machetes, a knuckle duster, and the fateful axe. So they deliberately went out to attack someone. This wasn't an incident occurred and they just happened to have weapons there, or an incident occurred and they were trying to defend themselves. They deliberately went back, picked up all these weapons, and then drove to where these, I think it was a teenager, and drove to where this teenager was so that they could then attack him and who he was with. I mean, just a young lad who was just working as a tree surgeon. "I am not going to let them leave," Rahman said from his car, abusing the workers as white bastards who were in his country. The court heard, "They are going to get what they deserve. They are going to get stabbed." And I think this was actually videoed. I think I can remember seeing part of the video of this when he was using that sort of language. Nothing was done about that in the court. This was not seen as an aggravating factor. One of the workers, who was just 18 years old, interposed himself as a peacemaker, completely defenceless. Only for the member of Rahman's mob armed with the axe, Muhammad Awaz Sajid, or Skinny, to suddenly slam the weapon into the young man's chest, smashing through his ribs and collapsing a lung. This is the young white lad who's trying to make peace. He's trying to say, look, you know, come on, lads, we're sorry about this. We didn't mean to offend you, anything like that. But they're not interested, are they? They're not interested, and they know that they can attack him like this, and it's not going to be seen as an aggravating factor that they use this racial language. They know that the courts are not going to punish them in the same way as if this was somebody white that was doing it to somebody non-white. And of course, it's wrong in either way, whether they're white or non-white, to be going and attacking somebody. The point here is that the punishment for the crime is so much more if you're a white person. That's the issue here. It's a selective use of justice and a selective use of this law about the aggravating circumstances based on a racial aspect to the attack. Sajid followed up with a 360-degree spin of his arm, an act which was doubtless employed to enhance the speed and devastation of the attack, recalled prosecutor Tim Story. The blow itself was aimed at the victim's head. I mean, this is quite clearly that he was trying to decapitate him. He called him a white bastard and then tried to decapitate him. The victim was only dimly aware at this stage of the weeping of blood down into his waistband. Remember, he's got a punctured lung here. He was turning his body, attempting to leave the scene. Through good fortune, he said he realised the axe was above him, aiming for his head. He put his arm up to defend himself and the blade essentially severed his arm at the risk. So his hand was literally cut off by this savage. I mean, that's the only word that you can call this person that was attacking him. Remember, this wasn't in the heat of the moment. This wasn't something that he had just said. This was after the incident where this Rahman had been abusing an elderly woman. He had then gone back home to get weapons, gone back to get his gang, and then gone back to where the teenagers were. And this wasn't the teenager that remonstrated with him for abusing the woman. This was somebody else that was just trying to stop the violence, that was trying to do the white man, play the white man, basically, and stop the violence and be a peacemaker. That's what we do as white people. We're peacemakers. The dreadful incident was only brought to a close by one of the tree surgeons revving a chainsaw at the mob to scare them away, although not before Rahman had shattered another worker's nose with a knuckle duster. Their teenage victim had to be airlifted to a hospital for life-saving emergency surgery and reattachment of his hand, which will never be restored to its full function, which has been followed by another 5 operations. Incredibly, Sajid of Moss Cottage, King's Road, Rochdale, was acquitted of attempted murder. MEN reports that he was instead convicted of a Section 18 wounding and handed an 18-year term, although there is no indication that this was anything other than a standard determinate sentence, meaning he will almost certainly be automatically released on licence at the halfway point, if not sooner. So he could be out for good behaviour, he could be out after 6 years instead of 18 years. And remember, this is a racially motivated attack where he tried to slam an axe into the victim's head and he ended up chopping the victim's hand off. Nothing is being mentioned about the racial aspect of this. And he saw that where he was living was his territory as well. And that's what he was angry about, that there was a white man on his territory. Rahman himself was given a 4.5-year term, while brother Zilla Rama and mob member Arsan Ali each received 4-year terms for conspiracy to commit violent disorder. So Rahman was the guy that got the mob together, and it was one of his henchmen that used the axe, this Sajid that used the axe. And the main man himself, the guy that got them all together, he was just given 4.5 years. So he's going to be out after 2 years. Although, again, it is standard practice in England that such terms are only served behind bars until their halfway point. 9 other people investigated in relation to the case were released without charge. So I guess that was other members of his gang that were there, because they didn't actually carry out the violence. And before we move on to another story of where the racial aspect was not included, again, I will just point out, we're not talking about this to try and get people to hate non-whites or anything like that. It's a small portion of them that carry out attacks on whites, just like it's probably a small portion of whites that carry out attacks on non-whites. The issue here is that there is a discrepancy in the sentences. When somebody non-white carries out a racial attack on a white man, there is no change to his sentence. When somebody white just uses hostile language about a non-white person, they get a prison sentence. If they carry out an attack like this, I mean, they would never get out. They would never get out, would they? They would never get out from prison if they were to use the same language about black people that this guy was using about white people, and then try to cut someone's head off with an axe and ended up chopping their hand off instead and punctured their lung. I don't think they would get out. I don't think they would be out after 6 years like this Sajid was. And again, the reason for that comes down to the judge in the case. And I bet the judge in this case wasn't a non-white. It would have been a white man that did that. Moving on to another instance of this. Most infamously, not a single so-called grooming gang case has been treated as racially aggravated, with judges and prosecutors appearing to be in denial about the racial element of the abuse, despite several victims clearly indicating their abusers held racist views and the abusers themselves openly expressing racist views with respect to white women. And there are so many instances of this where the victim said that they were abused because they were white. They were smeared because they were white. They were looked upon as being less worth because they were white. They were told to call themselves by these offensive names for white people. And in the courts, some of these accused were saying that it was part of their culture, and they looked down on white women because of that. I mean, some of these cases where these rapes have been carried out, they said, "Well, I didn't know that was against the law in Britain. It's accepted in my culture, in the country that I come from. If women are walking around unaccompanied, they're asking for it," effectively, is what they're saying. I mean, they come from completely different cultures. And again, it's not all of them. It's only a small portion of them. And I dare say that they make life difficult for the ones that don't do things like this. But we cannot really blame them as being the source of the problem. The source of the problem is our government for inviting them in the first place and knowing that they come from cultures where that sort of thing can occur. And yet our government still invited them in. And then we create these laws where if there is a racial component to a crime, there's supposed to be an aggravated sentence. And we have instances of this. We have these gangs that are predominantly Muslim gangs, predominantly Pakistani gangs, and we have the victims who are predominantly white victims who say that this attack is because I was white. We have the people carrying out the attack saying we did this because they were white, that they are worth less to us. You have these heads of the Muslim community saying that there is a problem within Islam, within some of our members of Islam that look down on white women, and that's the reason why they were doing this. So you have the victims saying this, you have the attackers saying this, you have the heads of the Islamic community saying this, and then you have the judges not including the racial aspect of it as an aggravating factor in the case. Meanwhile, British judges have even taken the extraordinary position that predators who prey on South Asian girls should be punished more severely than predators who prey on white girls because of the shame the victims and their families experience in their communities. And the reason why they're saying that is because, I mean, these girls could end up being attacked by their father or their brother for having sex before marriage. You know, we have these honour killings. So that's the reason why this was said. But what it effectively says is that white girls are worth less than non-whites. Well, let's have a look at this in detail. A child abuser who attacked two Asian girls was rightly given a harsher sentence than if his victims had been white, because it will now be harder for their parents to arrange marriages for them, a top judge has ruled. So the court system went along with this, and they said, and they effectively said, yes, white girls are worth less than Asian girls. If you're going to attack a girl, make sure they're white, because if they're Asian, you'll get a harsher sentence. Mr. Justice Walker said it was proper for Jamal Muhammad Rahim al-Nazir to have been given a harsher sentence, as Asian sex crime victims suffer more than whites. And this was actually appealed. And that's why this judge is saying this. It was another judge that that actually jailed him. So it's the legal system that is approving of this. This isn't just one rogue judge that's done this. The Huddersfield Daily Examiner says that al-Nasir was jailed for 7 years at Leeds Crown Court in December last year for attacking two underage girls. He was found guilty on two counts of sexual assault on a child under 13 and four counts of sexual activity with a child. Sally Cahill, QC, a female judge, the one who jailed him, said the fact his victims were Asian was an aggravating factor when passing sentencing. Remember that word, aggravating factor? Race is supposed to be an aggravating factor. And what she's saying here is that the guy that carried out the attack is Asian. His victims are Asian. And therefore, she's going to make race an aggravating factor in that, when the aggravating factor bit should have been if his victims were white, or if it was a white person doing it to somebody Asian. That's the aggravating factor. And perhaps she's letting it slip here that that's not what it's all about. It's just about protecting non-whites at the expense of whites. Their families had experienced shame in their community due to what had happened, she said, and there were concerns it would be harder to arrange good marriages for the girls when they were older. So this judge is probably thinking of solidarity among women here, and she's probably thinking, well, it would be more difficult for these women in their community. Therefore, the punishment should be more. But she's not thinking, but what message does that send? You know, the justice is supposed to be seen to be done, isn't it? A lot of this is about a message that is actually sent out to the general public as far as courts are concerned and prison sentences are concerned. And what she is saying here is that white victims are not worth as much as non-white victims. UKIP MEP Jane Collins said, "This ruling is essentially telling sex attackers to make sure their victims are white because they'll get a softer sentence if they are caught. So what the legal system has done is to make the world a more dangerous place for young white girls." And this was pointed out, and yet this judge, this top judge, still said, oh no, it was quite right for them to do that. Quite right for the aggravating factor to be that they were attacking somebody from their own race instead of attacking somebody from another race. A spokesman for the National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children said after the case, "British justice should operate on a level playing field, and children need to be protected irrespective of cultural differences. Regardless of race, religion or gender, every child deserves the right to be safe and protected from sexual abuse, and the courts must reflect this. It is vital that those who commit these hideous crimes are punished to the full limit of the law." And if they were going to say that race was an aggravating factor here and punish this Asian with extra punishment because of it, what he's saying here from the NSPCC is he's saying, well, that should also occur when they're attacking white victims. But that isn't what is happening. It's not that they're saying this should be the other way around or anything like that. We're just saying that the law should be applied evenly. Everybody should be equal under the law, not some groups more equal than others, which is what these laws that are based upon protected characteristics have created. I mean, it's not just race, you also have sexuality, you have gender, transgenderism, I think you've got disability now, ageism. I mean, everybody should be equal under the law. If somebody is attacked, it shouldn't matter the reason for the attack. What matters is they've been attacked by somebody. And when you say there's going to be this aggravating factor depending on who the victim is, which is effectively the way that this is applied, I mean, it's supposed to be about if there was negative language based upon race or whatever the protective characteristic is, but before the attack. But effectively, it means that if you are non-white and you get attacked, if you say, well, there was a racial component to it, then the white person is going to get punished more than if it was a non-white that had attacked them. So, of course, they're going to say that, aren't they? I mean, when these things happen, the police say straight away, was there any aggravating factors? Was race an aggravating factor? And quite clearly, race was an aggravating factor in these cases here where it was a white victim, but that was not used in the court. And we hear all the time about people being arrested and what have you simply for saying something racial online if they're white. I mean, the law is being applied in different ways to different groups. And we even have laws which seem to be set up in order to do that, to give these groups within society a protected status. And it all serves to deflect the blame for this away from where the blame lies. The blame lies with our government for doing this. But because of the way the courts interpret these laws, and because what people see is non-whites getting let off with this, then that sort of deflects the blame away from the government, and people end up getting annoyed at the non-whites. They get annoyed at the immigrants, which they see are being given this preferential treatment. Whereas the source of the problem isn't the non-whites. The source of the problem is the government with the laws that they have created, which create two different tiers in society, which create the law being applied differently to whichever group it is. And it's also the government that are responsible for the immigration policy that invites in people from different ethnic groups, which causes this division straight away. So it's the government that is to blame for all of it. And of course, I know Radio Albion listeners are not prejudiced types. They're not types that discriminate. And I know you understand the source of the problem lies with our own people. But I have to keep pointing it out because our opponents listen to this as well. And if there's any way that they can misconstrue my words, they will. So I have to make it very clear that I am not inciting hate against anyone. I am drawing attention to these issues because the root of the problem lies with our own people. It lies with our own government. And it's really only our own people that we can change. And we seek peaceful, positive change. And the only way you can get that change going is if you first off identify the problem, which is what we do here at Radio Albion. And of course, we also identify the solutions, which are, of course, entirely peaceful and community-based. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.